Hey, welcome to True North Church. So excited that you're tuning in for our worship gathering this morning. My name's Justin. I have the amazing honor of just being the pastor here of this family, really, which is what we call this place. This is a family. This is a community of people who are just striving to try to be as much like Jesus as we possibly can and to share the love of Jesus with as many people as we possibly can, because what we believe around here is that when you discover Jesus, you truly do discover a new and a better life, and we want that for people, for all people. And so that's why we do what we do. If you're joining us for the very first time, let me say a special welcome to you. We would love to know if you're tuning in with us for the first time, or maybe you're relatively new, you've been here a couple times, but you've never connected with us. We have what we call our digital connection card. We'd love to hear how you found out about us. I'd love to know if there's anything that we can be praying for in your life right now as we go through these changing and challenging times that we're in. We'd love to be able to come alongside of you. Love to get you plugged into some other areas of our community life here, whether that's groups or volunteering, whatever that might be. You can fill out that digital connection card. If you do call True North your home church, again, I've been saying this every week. I miss you guys. Can't wait to see you. And on that note, I have some really exciting news to share. We're going to be having our very first all-church gathering. Can I get an amen? Woot, woot! On June 14th at 12 o'clock at North Park. You can get all of the details for that on our website at truenorthpgh.org, or you can go to our Facebook page. You can get the information there. But I can't wait to see all of you guys. We're going to just get together, build some community, bring a picnic lunch for you and your family, some chairs. We're going to have some yard games, a little bit of live music possibly. We're just going to hang out and connect for the first time here in a couple of months. I know I am so excited to see so many of you guys. One final note before we dive in here to week six of The Struggle is Real. I want to thank you, those of you that are giving, for your generosity. We would not be able to do what we do week in and week out without your faithful giving. And so thank you for what you're doing. The fact that you guys continue to support this ministry means so much to us, because it allows us to get the message of the gospel out there to so many people. And you are a partner with us. You are helping us to be able to do that each and every week. So thank you, thank you, thank you guys. But hey, I want to dive in here, get right to it here. Week six of The Struggle is Real. We've been in this series now for the last 6 weeks. And it's been a powerful and an impactful series. I've heard from so many of you of how this has challenged you and impacted you. And honestly, even as the guy who's done a lot of the teaching on this, it's impacted me as I'm working through the scripture. But I got to tell you, this week, this has been a really challenging week for me. It has been a struggle. It's been a stressful week. I've had a lot on my plate. And at times, I'm just going to be totally honest and transparent with you guys. I felt overwhelmed. And, you know, there's some things going on in my personal life, some extra stresses that have been added on to us and onto our family that have kind of caused that. But then you kind of couple that also with what's been going on in our world, right, in our culture, between COVID-19 and now all of this racial tension and struggle that's going on in our country. And there have been days where I've just felt like helpless. Like I want to do something, but I just don't know what to do. And again, if I'm being totally transparent and totally honest, there have been some days where I've just felt so unmotivated. Like I've been in some bad habits and some bad patterns, staying up later than I normally do and getting up later than I normally do. And just feeling like when I wake up out of bed, I'm not motivated to do anything. And that's just so, it's so unlike me. And I know that I'm not the only one. I know that right now there are so many people, regardless even of what's going on in our culture, just on a day-to-day basis, who are struggling with things, who are dealing with challenges in their life, people who are dealing with interpersonal struggles, with relationship issues and divorce and tragedy in their relationships, people who are dealing with kind of internal mental and spiritual struggles. You know, things like depression and anxiety that can just overwhelm us and get the best of us, health struggles and challenges, physical ailments that we don't know how to deal with. And some days my heart is just, it is so heavy, not only for the things I'm dealing with, but for the things people are dealing with and the things that our world is dealing with. And what I want so badly And I hope if you've been around for a while that you've heard this come out. And if you're here for the first time, you're hearing it for the first time today. But what I want so badly is for people to connect with Jesus, to connect with his love and his grace and his truth. Because I want people to go through life burdenless, not burdened. I want people to be set free. I want myself to be set free. And yet sometimes that is such a challenge, isn't it? Like even those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers, life isn't always easy. Like being a Jesus follower didn't make our life perfect. It made it better, but it didn't change the fact that we still struggle with things in our life. And I know that I'm not the only one. Like I know that you feel that burden too, and you feel that struggle too in your day-to-day life. And so we're going to close out this series called The Struggle Is Real, where over the last 6 weeks, we've talked about how to deal with the struggles in our life that come as a result of nothing that we've done. We've talked about struggles in our life that come as a result of things we have done, sin in our life, poor choices that we've made. We talked about how we can be more obedient to God and how that brings less struggle, how we can have more wisdom, how we can tame our tongue, right? We talked about a whole bunch of different issues, but I believe the message today as we close out the book of James, where we've been studying for the last 6 weeks, we're going to be in James chapter 5. This is the last chapter of this power-packed book. I believe as we study out this last part, this might be the most important message of the entire series. Because what James has to say today transcends all of the stuff, all of the struggle that we find ourselves facing. Because sometimes, this is the truth. Come on, let's just be honest. Let's be real for a second. No matter how hard we try, sometimes you find yourself facing something, whether it's external or internal, that you just don't know what to do. Where you are asking that question, God, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I feel like I've tried everything else. And James gives us this incredibly practical, like the entire rest of this book, answer to that question. What do I do when I don't know what to do? So if you've got a Bible today, I encourage you to open it up with us. We will have the scriptures on the screen here, but we're going to be in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And I've been praying all week long for this over myself and that you would experience here what James has to say and begin to apply it and put it into practice in your life, because I believe it could change your life. This is what James begins with. When you don't know what to do, when you're struggling and you're in trouble, this is what he says. He says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? He says, let them sing songs of praise. James says, when we are in trouble, when we are struggling with something in our life, our first response should be to pray and to praise. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the time in my life when I'm struggling, that is not my first response. My first response is to get anxious, to worry, right? My first response is to ask Google, to phone a friend, right? This is our first response. It's oftentimes not to pray. It's certainly not to praise in that moment. And James says, no, listen. When you feel the tension in your life, when you feel the struggle in your life, your very first response should be to pray, to go to your Heavenly Father and to ask Him for His peace and His direction and His wisdom in whatever struggle and whatever challenge you are facing in your life. And I love the second part of this. He says, when you're in trouble, let them pray. But then he adds this little part at the end of this. He says, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. And what James is really saying here is this, is if you have anything good in your life that's going on right now, anything, praise your Heavenly Father for it. The rest of your life might be chaos. There might be so much struggle and weight and burden that you're carrying, but if you have anything in your life to be happy about, praise Him for it. There's a story in Acts chapter 16, an account of Paul, one of the great apostles of the New Testament, and his buddy Silas. And they've been captured by the Roman government for proclaiming the name of Jesus. They're being persecuted for talking about Jesus. And so I'm not going to read the passage, but I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here for you. It says that they were beaten and shackled and thrown in prison. And they're sitting in this prison and they're awaiting their trial and what's going to happen to them. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They might be killed for what they have been doing. And so they're sitting in this jail cell. And in this moment, they do something that has always been so inspiring to me. They're going through this tremendous struggle and this tremendous tension. And what do? They began to pray and praise. They began to sing songs to God in the middle of this jail. So you got to imagine there's all these guys sitting in there with them. They're looking at them like, are you crazy? What do you have to praise about right now? Why are you praying? Your God has left you for dead. You're in a jail cell right now. You're not going anywhere. You can praise all you want. And yet, Paul and Silas, they took this opportunity, this moment, to pray and to praise. And this crazy miracle happens. Literally, the whole prison shakes and the door falls off the hinges, right? And the guard ends up getting saved. He becomes a Jesus follower because of all of this. But the point is this. In their moment of struggle, in their darkest moment, what did they do? They began to pray and praise. And I got to tell you something. If you will begin to do this in your life, when the tension of your life, when the burden of your life and the struggle of your life becomes great, if you will begin to pray and praise, it will change everything about your situation and your circumstance. Not externally, but internally. I've been doing something lately that's kind of out of character for me, but I want to challenge you to do it. When I start feeling the struggle, I just start singing. I think of a worship song that means something to me, and I just start singing it. Waymaker, that's been one for me over the last couple of months. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you know what? It doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. It doesn't matter if you have a good voice or not. God doesn't care what your voice sounds like. He wants to hear your praise. And what's so amazing about when we praise is, yeah, you're lifting up worship to your God and you're thanking him for all the good things in your life in spite of your struggle. But it changes you. It changes your heart posture. It changes your perspective. I want to encourage you. Pray and praise. Begin to sing in those moments when you feel down and when you feel the struggle, and watch how it lifts you up. But James isn't done. He goes on. He says this next. He says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. He says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James says, don't just take a moment to pray on your own by yourself. He says, go to others and have them pray with you and for you. Specifically, he says, go to the elders of the church, the leadership of the church. What is the church? It is this global family, this global body of Jesus followers who are supposed to be connected together, encouraging one another, keeping each other accountable. What is your local chapter? If you are part of True North Church, you are part of this small body called True North Church that is a part of a larger body. Go to your body, he says. Go to the people who are supposed to care about you and encourage you and love you and want to keep you accountable and ask them to pray for you. See, one of the biggest struggles I think we have just as human beings is our pride, right? We're embarrassed when we're going through struggle. I am a lot. I don't want to tell anybody about that. I don't want to admit that I'm struggling with something. And so what do? I go it alone. And what James is saying is don't go it alone. Be in this together. That's what the church is for. It is a community of people on mission together that are there to help one another. And if you don't do that, you are missing out. And so I cannot encourage you enough as you go through the struggle of your life. Don't do it alone. This is why small groups are so vitally important. Every single week in my small group, at the end of the night, we take prayer requests. And we pray over those things throughout the week. And there's something amazingly freeing, and there's such a peace that comes from knowing that other people are praying for you as you are going through your struggle. If you are disconnected from the church in that way, I can't encourage you enough. Be a part of the church and ask them to pray for you. Ask them to come alongside of you. It is so very powerful. Don't go it alone. But there's something here that I want to explain. I need to make sure we understand the context. It's verse 15. And it says, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And I want you to hear something, because there are many, 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 many people who have taken this verse out of context. And I believe it's done great damage to people's spiritual life. You see, a lot of times people read this and they take it out of context and they say, okay, if you just pray with enough faith, if you just have enough faith to pray this prayer and go to God, that he is going to heal you physically. And what we need to understand is the context of what James is writing this in here. James is writing this book to a New Testament church of Christians who are being persecuted for their beliefs in Jesus Christ. They are being spiritually oppressed, right? And sometimes they are being beaten down physically. But the main reason that James is telling them to pray is for them to be lifted up spiritually in the midst of the struggle that they're facing. And so when James says the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, he's talking about spiritually sick, spiritually starved, spiritually oppressed. And he says the Lord will raise them up. And what James is trying to make the point of here is this, is listen, no matter what your struggle is internally, no matter what you may be facing, the way you may be feeling, the Lord will raise you up if you simply ask him. Just go to him and ask him. Go to other people. Go to the leadership of the church and people in the church, people in your small group, and ask them to pray for you and build you up and lift you up. And he will. That is his promise to us. But he never promises that he is going to heal us physically every single time we ask. He might, but he also might not. And I think that is so important. And I've said this many times in messages in the past, but what God cares most about is your spirit. Your spirit is what's going to live forever and ever and ever in eternity. Your body, the earthly body that you have right now, this is just the vessel that your spirit is being carried in through this life. And so while, yes, God doesn't want you to physically suffer all the time, there are going to be times when our bodies that are deteriorating because of sin are going to suffer, but your spirit can always thrive. And this is what James is trying to help us understand. No matter what your circumstance, God can lift you up out of the ashes of your despair. And that is such good news today. Finally, he ends this passage with, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Can I just say there's power in confession, right? Yes, we're prideful. No, we don't want to always admit that we've got struggle going on in our life, but isn't there something freeing about sharing that with someone else? Have you ever had a burden that you've been carrying and you haven't shared it with anyone, and then finally you begin to tell some people about it and you can just feel the weight of that lifted off? Confession brings healing. It brings some accountability, and ultimately it brings growth in your life. When other people know what you're struggling with, then they can reach out to you. They can come alongside of you. But if they don't know, then you're going it alone. And we were not meant to do this life alone. Finally, James ends with this. He says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so he's given us this challenge. When you're struggling, you need to pray. When you're struggling, you need to praise. You need to go to other people, and you need to bring other people into the fold to be praying and praising with you. But then he throws this last verse in here, and I think it's easy to kind of just glaze over this and breeze right past this, but this is so very important. Because what it really is it's instruction on how to actually have our prayers received well and answered. He says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Who is a righteous person? A righteous person is someone who desires the will of God in everything and everything in their life. It is somebody who wants what is right to be done. It is someone who wants to please God and please the Lord, who wants what he wants for their life. And what James is saying is when you pray those types of prayers, when you pray in the righteousness of God, that they are powerful and they are effective, right? They're powerful and effective. That means that they can overcome the greatest darkness. Those types of prayers, when we pray in the righteousness of God, they can overcome things that we never thought possible. And they are so very effective in accomplishing that freedom and peace and joy that we are actually looking for in our life. But the opposite of this is true. And for me, and again, I don't think I'm the only one, I think there have been a lot of times in my life when I have not prayed righteous prayers, when I have not prayed as a righteous person, when I have prayed selfish prayers, when I have prayed things that go against the will of God. And here's the truth that we need to understand and we need to hear. God is never going to answer a prayer for you that goes against his will and goes against his righteousness. And he's never going to do it for me. But he promises that when we are walking in righteousness with him, when we are desiring to be obedient to him, when we are desiring his will in our life, he's always going to answer. And he is going to give us what we need and what is best for us. You see, that's the thing about your Heavenly Father. He loves you. Just like any good parent would, he's going to give you what is best for you. And again, it's not always about your physical body and your physical life. It's about your spiritual life. When our prayers are for the genuine well-being of others, I believe God is going to answer those prayers. When they are centered on becoming more like Christ, when our prayers are centered on the gospel and becoming more like Jesus, he's going to answer those prayers. When our prayers are trusting in his provision for our life and we're able to actually give up some control, I don't know about you, but I'm a control freak. I want to be in control, right? But the righteousness of God isn't me being in control. It's giving up control to him. It's surrendering control to him because he is going to be a much better steward of my life than I could possibly be for myself. James says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If you want to see your prayer life go to the next level, if you want to see God begin to answer prayers in your life, we have to pray as righteous people. And that doesn't mean we have to be perfect, right? We don't have to be perfect. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we don't have to be perfect. But what God says is, I want you to strive with everything that you have to be as much like me as you possibly can. And when you begin to do that, you are going to see amazing things happen in your life. And so, as we get ready to kind of close this out, you know, I was struggling this week. I really was. And I know that some of you, I don't know where all of you are at right now. We've been so disconnected physically for months. But I know that there's something in your life, most likely, that you are struggling with right now. This week I was worrying about a lot of things and I had no peace. I mean, no peace. And the reason I didn't have any peace is because I was trying to take care of things on my own. I was trying to do it myself. I was trying to handle my own business. And what God has been teaching me this week through James chapter 5 is this, is that when the tension increases in my life, Justin, stop trying to handle it yourself. Stop making that the first move that you make. Stop making that your initial kind of knee-jerk reaction. Oh, I got struggle. I got tension. Okay, what am I going to do about it, right? Who can I go to Google search on and figure out how to fix this problem in my life or deal with this anxiety or deal with this worry? God has been saying, no, Justin, that's not the response that you need to have. That shouldn't be your first response ever. Your first response should be to come to me in prayer and praise. Last week, I was up in my spare bedroom and I was working out. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and there was a thunderstorm coming through. And all of a sudden, I heard this boom. I mean, it sounded like an explosion and this flash of light. And immediately I knew lightning just struck really, really close. And I immediately thought our house had to have gotten hit. It was so close. And so I started walking around, looking, making sure everything was okay. And praise God, our house was fine. But about 3 minutes later, I looked out the back bedroom window and I looked across the street at our neighbor's house, and it was in flames. I mean, it was the smoke was billowing out of this house. I mean, it only took a few minutes, and we ran out of the house. We called 911. Somebody else had already called, and I felt so helpless standing there watching this fire. This house just blazed. There was nothing I could do about it, and all I could do was stand there and helplessly watch as this fire blazed. I felt so very helpless, and I felt so bad for the person who was going through that struggle. And in that moment, it reminded me of something I learned when I was a kid, and you probably learned this too. If you were ever to catch on fire, there's a knee-jerk, immediate, automatic response that you should take, right? You know what it is. Stop, drop, and roll. Right, if you ever find yourself on fire, the first thing you need to do is stop dead in your tracks. Don't keep moving. Don't keep running, because that air and the oxygen that's being created as you run is going to make that fire worse. Stop where you're at, dead in your tracks. Drop to the ground and then begin to roll to put that fire out. That should be our knee-jerk response. And don't miss this. In the exact same way, when we are struggling, When we feel the tension of this life beginning to build up, our automatic knee-jerk response should be this: stop, drop, and praise. Stop, drop, and praise. And yes, you're looking at that on the screen, right? That's not a typo. P-R-A-Y-S-E. I know that's not a word, okay? It's not a word. I made it up, right? What it means is stop, drop, and pray and praise. Right? Pray and praise. We need to stop, drop, and praise in every single situation of our life. Every single situation. And it should be our first response, not our last. And that's the problem for me. That's one of the struggles for me, is that it's often way down the line. Sometimes it's the last thing I do. It's what I do when I come to the end of my rope. But prayer and praise should be our first response every single day when we wake up, when we feel the tension in our life or someone else's life, to stop, drop, and praise. Stop what you're doing. Drop to your knees. Pray to your Heavenly Father and praise Him for the good things that you have in your life, and watch how it changes your spirit and your perspective and your level of joy and peace. If your relationship is tense, stop, drop, and praise. If you're overwhelmed with life and the challenges that this life is bringing you right now, stop, drop, and praise. If someone was rude to you at the office and you feel like lashing out, or someone was rude to you in your home, before you do anything else, stop, drop, and praise. That's my message for us this week. That's the message of James. That's the message of God's word for us this week. But before we close, I want to do something different this week. I want to put this into practice for a moment. Because I know for so many people, this is hard. This can be a challenge. Prayer can be this weird, mysterious thing. But right where you're sitting, right wherever you're watching this right now, I want to try something. We're going to play a couple of songs, a couple of worship songs. And I'm going to encourage you to listen to those words and reflect on them. But while those songs are being sung, would you do something for the next 5 to 10 minutes? Would you stop whatever you're doing? Would you drop to your knees? And would you begin to pray and praise? Would you begin to pray to God for all the struggle and challenges that you have in your life right now, whatever they might be? Would you begin to praise Him for all the good things that He is doing in your life? If you are with other people, if you are sitting with your family, would you gather them together? Pray for your marriage. Pray for your children. Pray for this country and the challenges that we are facing right now. Stop, drop, and praise. And I believe as you begin to do that, start doing that every single day, you are going to see tremendous change come to your personal life, to your families, and to every single person that you come in contact with. And then, finally, I want you to write down this verse. It's a verse that we've already covered, but I want you to I want you to find a note card somewhere, a piece of paper somewhere. Write it down, put it somewhere where you're going to see it every day this week, and who knows, you know what? Maybe every day for the rest of your life, I think we need it. It's James 5:13. And we'll put this in the comment section as well. Is anyone among you in trouble? Are you? Are you in trouble? Do you have struggle in your life? I do. Is anyone among you in trouble? It says, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Does anyone have anything good that they can talk about right now in their life? Here's the thing for me. If nothing else, I always have this. No matter what, this can never be taken away from me. And this is why I love the gospel of Jesus so much. I have Jesus Christ. I have the hope of a future and a life in heaven with my heavenly Father. I have the hope and the knowledge of his peace and joy that transcends all the darkness in this world. I always have something to praise him for, just like Paul and Silas in the prison. They could praise because they had Jesus Christ. That's what I want for you. It says, is anyone of you among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Write that down. Put that somewhere where you will see it every single day. And whenever you feel the struggle and whenever you feel the tension, remind yourself to pray and praise. Stop, drop, and praise. And so we're going to sing these songs right now. I encourage you, take this moment to stop and to pray and to praise. In a few minutes, we'll close out here together. Hey, you know, as we close out our series, I believe this with all my heart. There is nothing that you can do for your family, for your spiritual life, for our world, than to begin to pray faithfully every day. That God's will would be done in your life and in this world, that the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ would reign supreme in this world. But I also believe that there's a second thing that we can be doing, and we do this every week. We talk about this every week, but prayer and reading God's word are the two most important things that you can be doing every single day if you want to, again, have that peace of Christ, have that joy of Jesus and the gospel in your life, but also if you want to continue to grow, if you want to continue to be changed by him, I believe it starts with prayer and it starts by reading God's word. And so every week we say this, we're going to say it again this week. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to get one in your hands. We would love to show you how to read it, come alongside of you. This can be a very scary book, but honestly, it can be an intimidating book. But we want to make it easier for you. We want to help you to understand it because we believe when you start to apply the truth that is in here, your life and your family will be changed, maybe not just for now, but for all time, for generations to come. And so please, please reach out to us. Let us know if you don't have a Bible. We'll get one in your hands and we'll begin the process of helping you learn more about who Jesus is and how he can change your life. Guys, it's been so good being with you during this series. I'm kind of sad to wrap it up, honestly, but excited about what we have coming up here down the road. I can't wait to see some of you on June 14th. Have a fantastic, fantastic weekend. Have a great week. Love all of you. I am rooting for you. I am praying for you. And I cannot wait to be back together again soon. Take care.